So, we have the music in the background. You could do that little dance we talked about yesterday. Just use that music in the background.
We're children of illusion.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We are. He is too. Which is good, isn't it? It's in that sense, it does apply directly in terms of as something that brings up compassion, because it's not only us that are constantly being ensnared by our fabrications. It's other people as well, isn't it? So, and how? And the most natural, appropriate response to that is compassion, because that is what's happening to them. Yeah. I think I read somewhere in the text that it seems like enlightened people or bodhisattvas would look at the way normal, unenlightened people behave as they're behaving as if they're mad, because they're kind of chasing after all these illusions. And I was doing a retreat on this topic in Sweden a few years ago, and then I read about it's like taking a bath in an ice cold river, and that really worked for me because I had an ice cold river just right outside of the retreat center. So it's like you want to have a wash, and you go to the ice cold river, and you're gonna have a bath in that. You see, it's just like it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So those were the meditation instructions and the post-meditation instructions for practicing absolute bodhicitta, so practicing looking at the nature of reality, I guess. Yeah. And as we see, that is going to result in compassion, because that is going to be a natural response to seeing others being ensnared. And we could have compassion with ourselves as well. It's just a natural function of the mind, but there is stuff we can do. So this is suggested. There's a lot of Buddhist practice we can do, but these suggestions for these inquiries can be extremely helpful. So the second set of instructions in this point was about relative bodhicitta, so that's about Tonglen. And there's only four instructions in that sequence. And the first one is fairly obvious, I think. Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath. Mm-hmm. So you're using the in-breath for the taking and the out-breath for descending. So that is also Tonglen means that. Sending and receiving. So you're using the in-breath to receive and the out-breath to send. And whilst we're doing the practice, it just probably takes just some getting used to, because it might be quite a lot to think about. But just give yourself that time to just get used to the rhythm of the breath, etc. Sometimes what you could do is take a little break in the middle, or you could just do a few breathing in. You know, you might be breathing in that feels quite difficult, and you might just need a few time cycles of breathing in to kind of come to the end of that breathing in, if you see what I mean. And sometimes the breathing out could also be, you just might need a few cycles of breathing out to come to a natural feeling of like, oh, this feels natural, feels okay. So you can play around with it quite a lot in terms of the rhythm, etc. So sending and taking should be practiced alternately, and these two should ride the breath. And I remember today something I read about training the brain, that I've been thinking about this in relation to ritual as well. You know how you can have something in your mind and have some sort of intention, but how when you, for instance, light a candle and you have your intention in mind, that's makes it much stronger somehow. So it seems like as if there is movements of body accompanying the intention, then it imprints itself stronger in the brain. That seems to be the way it works. So I think this is one of the reasons why the Tonglen meditation is such a strong practice, because you're using the movement of the breath to imprint, as it were, these intentions and these aspirations. So I think that's why it's actually quite that makes it stronger. And it makes it more effective somehow to train yourself in that. So that is quite self-evident, isn't it? Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. So it's going into the pot. So I've got this one about three objects, three poisons, and three roots of virtue, which sounds quite complicated, but I don't think it is really complicated. But I'll try to keep it brief, because I also like us to do a bit of meditation. So three objects, they are corresponding to our the people we take in our metta practice. So three objects is the three people that you have. It's the friends, it's the neutral people, and it's the enemies, as it were. And the three poisons is greed, hatred, and delusion. So in terms of the sequence, it would be greed, delusion, and hatred, in terms of our persons, if you see what I mean, our people. Because in terms of the person that you don't know, there is just that, you could say that corresponds to indifference. And the person that you do know well as your friend, there might be greed coming in with that, or craving, if you see what I mean. And with the hate, the enemy, that's obvious, isn't it? It's the anger and the negative feelings of hatred, etc., that are playing out. So the three poisons and three roots of virtue, it just, in terms of the Tonglen practice, we can use the practice for each of these poisons. So we can use it for feelings of craving towards people or objects, whatever. And we can use it for feelings of anger that we're experiencing. We could also use it for feelings of, coldness or this feeling like I don't care, or I can't find any more words for it.
Complacency.
Yes, indifference, complacency, that kind of thing. So we can use the Tonglen for all of those emotions and all of these situations that somehow have these poisons in them. And by practicing Tonglen, or any kind of practice, we're doing metta or ethical practice, whatever, they become roots of virtue. So that is what these three roots of virtue means. Roots of virtue, you get this difficult person, you're doing the practice, however you're doing the practice, but in this system we're doing the Tonglen practice with them. It just means that whatever it is that you are experiencing, it gets transformed into something wholesome. That's just what the practice does. That is what the Dharma does. Practicing the Dharma has that result. So you're practicing, if you're practicing with those poisons that coming to you in the form of people usually, or objects, then the result is that it's going to result in compassion, in more patience, in more love, in more insight, in more generosity. You see what I mean? So that's all it means, this one. That's all it means.
So I get how we might work with an enemy.
Yeah.
But what about someone who you mentioned could be an object of craving?
Yeah. Well, you could, because it's suffering, isn't it? It's your own suffering. You're then relating it to your own suffering.
Okay.
So, and then you're breathing that in, and you're breathing out peace. You're breathing out spaciousness. You're breathing out groundedness, or you're breathing out abundance. That's worked for me in the past. Yeah. So somehow, because that sense of craving, often it feels needy and a bit contracted, doesn't it, somehow?
Yeah.
And then it feels like a sense of lack. If you don't have that, you're unhappy.
Yeah.
So this sense of like breathing out abundance will help that.
And turning towards that. sense of craving.
Oh yeah, 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 absolutely, absolutely. I personally overcome my craving for added sugar by doing Tonglen practice, and I'm not saying everybody should do that or could do that. I don't know, for me it really worked because I was breathing in the craving for that sugar and I was breathing out all the stuff in the refrigerator. Just in my imagination, you know, just so, and all the books on the shelves. We've got so many books at home. So you see, so this sort of sense of emotional sense of neediness and lack. Yeah, breathing out abundance, which is the truth, because there there is abundance. There is, in that sense, there is no lack. For the pot. Well, the next one is really easy. In all activities, train with slogans. In all activities, train with slogans. It actually means just practice, 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 and practice a bit more. Using absolute bodhicitta, relative bodhicitta, meditation, practice, practice. That's it. In all activities, train with slogans. Yeah? And now we're just going to start our practice on the cushions. So it's a bit shorter than I had wanted. So our last slogan is, begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. Begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. So in terms of doing this Tonglen practice, it's important that you're starting with something that you're actually experiencing right now. So you've got access to it, so it's in your direct experience rather than something that's imagined. Yeah? So you're starting off with something real, directly felt in yourself. It's usually in the body or wherever you're experiencing it. And you can stay with this for as long as you like. But obviously, at some point, other beings need to come in too. But it might be the case that you just have a long backlog of doing this, of looking after yourself in this way. So in terms of looking after yourself, you just make sure that you feel well resourced. So that's the whole principle, that you're not doing the practice out of this sense of lack, out of a sense of being feeling impoverished or dry or unable to give anything. You see what I mean? You need to come from a place of feeling resourced. So, and then when you get to that point, you start inviting other people in the practice. But we'll do a bit of that in the lead practice, okay? So this goes in the pot. Yeah, everybody agrees. There it goes. So we'll do a short period of Tonglen practice, and I shall lead us through a bit, yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, making contact or just noticing. Sensations in the body. So anything that calls your attention. I'd like to ask you to go to or to just notice if there is anything like that, any kind of tension you might be experiencing or sense of unease or discomfort or anything of that nature. And just starting by breathing that in. And just on the out breath, just relax. Or do nothing. So we're trying to get a sense of that mechanism of breathing in and breathing out, and breathing in that tension, discomfort. And you could imagine having a heart with a wish-fulfilling jewel in it, shining brightly, resting in the heart space. So breathing in any kind of tension or discomfort. And mysteriously, alchemically, in the heart space, this is transformed into a quality that is needed. So it could be acceptance, peace, groundedness, spaciousness. Whatever is needed can come out of that heart space, and you can breathe it out on the out breath. You can also breathe in any kind of thoughts. You can breathe in a whole situation if you like. And on the out breath, a quality comes that is helpful. And if you feel well resourced now, imagining people out there suffering from exactly the kind of suffering that you're experiencing. Maybe it could be tension, could be a situation, could be thought content. So just imagining people out there suffering in the same kind of way as you do now. And on the in-breath, you're just breathing all of that in and breathing out what is needed. People out there with a particular illness or a condition. Or people out there suffering from the content of their thoughts. So allowing the mysterious and magic wish-fulfilling jewel to hold it and transform it and breathe out what is needed. And if any kind of suffering is coming up for you in relation to that, just breathe that in. Just fold it in the practice. You can alternate between yourself and other people. Or just stick to yourself, that's also fine. Because there are innumerable beings out there that are suffering, we have a chance to develop immeasurable compassion. The last 5 minutes, I recommend just sitting. Just to stop making any effort and just experienced mind, body,